The first commandment, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That identifies who God is, and it proves his love for us. And then the commandment for us in verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, if we remember that Jesus taught us that the whole law hangs on two commands, the command to love God with all that we are, all of our heart and soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, which is to say all of our muchness, everything we have, and then the command to love our neighbor as ourselves, that helps us see that the Ten Commandments are chiefly things that we will never do if we do love God with all that we are and if we love our neighbor as ourself. And the converse is also true, because you see, idolatry, which is what's forbidden here, has always been the chief sin of the human race in its fallen condition. It was always the chief stumbling block in sin, even of God's people, Israel, in the Old Testament. And God always refers to idolatry as adultery, spiritual adultery, which points out the fact that we were created for monogamy through and through. We were created for sexual monogamy because we were created for spiritual monogamy with the one true God. And the sexual relationship between husband and wife is reflect the spiritual union between God and his church, which is simply a restoration of what the human race was created to be. So throughout history, the main sin that God has condemned his people for and the human race for is having other gods before him. God deserves our supreme affection. That's why we're called to love him with all that we are. God deserves our supreme loyalty. God deserves our supreme praise. God deserves our supreme obedience. For God didn't need to create us. He didn't need us. What first thing we see God doing in the Bible is giving. And what we see him giving is himself. God creates trillions of things that he does not need, chiefly us. And we're dependent upon him all the time. And he says, very good. And he makes us in his own image to correspond to him, to reflect his character, to know him, to walk with him, to know his joy, to come to be like him, to have part in his work. This is why he allows us to participate almost in a way in the act of creation, because he builds the human race through us, through husband and wife coming together. He enables us to participate in all of these different things, and none of this is for him. He doesn't need any of this. This is all for us. This is why he deserves our supreme affection, loyalty, praise, and obedience. And those are the essential elements of worship. It doesn't refer directly to ritual worship, but it does include that, because what we do when we come together for God, when we come together on a special day and in a special place in this way, it is like if you have great-great-grandparents who have their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, and they all come together at one time and place. There is a specialness to that. And so God is with us in a special way when we come together as we do on the Lord's Day. And the worship we offer him here is meant to be a reflection of what we do in our whole lives every single day and every single moment. That in everything we do, we give him our supreme affection, loyalty, praise, and obedience. Now the Bible says that we always worship something. Even the person who claims to believe in no gods worships something, even if it is themselves. Because something will claim their supreme affection, their supreme loyalty, their praise and obedience, even if it is their own desires and their own thoughts. God says that when we worship Him, we become like Him. By worshiping, loving, praising, serving, obeying God, we become more and more like Him. The Bible also says that whenever we worship an idol, we become more and more like it. Of course, idols are not the true God. So when we worship anything other than the one true God, we become, in fact, less and less human. Because to be human is to be the image of God, and it is to reflect Him. And the more we fail to worship Him, the more we worship something else, we become less and less human. Conversely, we can say, whatever shapes us is what we worship. Whatever is shaping us. If it's not the true God who is shaping us, then we aren't worshiping Him. Something is shaping us. Whatever it is, that is the God that we worship. And when we do that, and in our society today, it is certainly the worship of self, which is the supreme idol. And when you have that to an extreme degree, which we do in our society today, what you see is what we see today. Individuals each creating their own private spheres of reality, their own private identity, changing from one to another, sometimes on a daily basis. And it also drives another form of idolatry, which would not seem to go with the extreme self-worship, and that is the worship of the government, with the increasing godlike size, power, and intrusiveness of government. Actually, these two forms of idolatry, extreme self-worship and extreme state worship, really go together. They have a symbiotic relationship. Because as we move away and we claim every person the right to create their own reality, their own truth, their own meaning, their own identity, in that kind of an environment, all right and wrong becomes relative. All meaning becomes relative. And so any kind of right and wrong, any kind of law becomes arbitrary because there's nothing else. And that's why the more radical self-worship you have in a society, the more increasing totalitarian power you will see among the government, because there has to be some kind of glue to hold society together and hopefully provide the kind of prosperity that you need to maintain such a high order of me worship. You have to have both of those. And so we will go the way of the Roman Empire, just as radical self-worship dominated in that day. And the power of the empire grew more and more and more. So we see it happening in our own day. These are the inevitable consequences of idolatry, which just points out one more time, not just the importance, but the privilege we have of knowing and worshiping the one true God through Jesus Christ. Amen.